Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we have a special look into a parlay that I want to share with everybody that is only available on FanDuel. So FanDuel last year released two different type of parlays where you can parlay teams to win six games or teams to win 10 games or more. And I really thought that was a really interesting category, simply because there's nowhere else to parlay win totals. It's just not available on the market. It hasn't been since like offshore betting, like kind of took a dive because it was legalized in America. So I find that an extremely intriguing proposition. And I have five teams today that we're going to look at for the six plus wins parlay. And so the process that I use when it comes to choosing these teams is I want teams right around their win total to be right around 6.5 to 4.5. So I have teams that are projected to at least hit the six win mark, along with teams that, might need to overachieve a little bit or, you know, just meet their expectations on the year. Now, the reason being is I'm not trying to, you know, throw in a team that's like minus 700 to win six games. Like, I'm just like, that's not the point of this channel. Like, we're trying to, like, find value and really, you know, have takes that aren't, you know, just completely vanilla, you know, just something that's just, you could get anywhere, right? So a couple of these teams we've already touched base on in previous episodes, so I won't dive super far into them, but I will give you a baseline as to why I like them starting out and why they kind of fit this mold. And this is, again, this is an action parlay. It is not, you know, just like any parlay that you do, you should understand that they are inherently not good bets long term. And they're just not. They're meant for action. They're meant for, you know, things of that nature. They're inherently losing propositions. And so when I give out these teams and the odds for this parlay, I don't want you to be like, oh, we can take this to the bank, get the rent money, honey. Like, we're going to put this down. Like, that's just not how that works. Okay, so just understand that going in. And obviously, don't ever gamble anything you can't afford to lose. I feel like I should have said that long ago into this podcast, but we're all adults here. So the first team that I have is Rutgers. And the main reason for Rutgers is I had them listed in the best defensive units. You know, the returning production is 16th overall from an S&P Plus defense of 19th last year. And on top of that, they play a very manageable schedule, the 85th ranked strength of schedule, and their win total is right at 6.5. And I just foresee them really having a solid season, being that the defense is going to probably be just as elite, and they're going to be looking for even incremental improvement from the offensive side of the ball. You know, they are 40th in returning production from a unit that was 98th overall. So even if that offense improves, like, say, 15 spots, 20 spots, and they're, like, average, they will really contend in a Big Ten that, you know, is, you know, has more depth to it, but they really have drawn a pretty good path this year, if you ask me. You know, their biggest games, you know, they avoid Ohio State, Oregon, and Michigan. I mean, it's not really going to get much better than that. Their non-conference is pretty doable. They have Howard and Akron. At Virginia Tech will be tough, but again, they only need to win six games. Like, we're not trying to make a case for the playoff here, right? So this is pretty straightforward. The defense is an elite unit. They draw a favorable schedule, and they have great returning production. Next on the list is going to be Air Force. And this is another team that I've touched base on already. I like them to win the Mountain West, or at least play in the Mountain West championship game. And again, this is pretty straightforward myself. Returning production, 18th overall from an S&P plus defense that was 30th overall last year. That, you know, that in itself is not the reason, though. I just really feel that Air Force has arguably a top 10 offensive line in the entire country. Every single player on their team last year that had at least 300 offensive line snaps returns this year. So it's not just an offensive line that's returning 100% of their snaps and they filled it in with like the transfer portal or anything like that, right? This is an offensive line that has continuity that actually matters, especially from when it comes to a team that leans on their offensive line play so much. So that paired with the 125th strength of schedule, which is fairly manageable to say the least, I would be shocked if they did not reach six wins or more. And I really feel as if they're going to play in the Mountain West Championship and even compete for a Mountain West championship. So our third team is going to be a team we have not touched on, but they are very intriguing to me. And that is going to be Indiana. Now, I know you're probably like, where the hell did that come from? I'm going to tell you where it comes from, okay? First off, they're 15th overall in offensive returning production and second overall in defensive returning production. And that right there tells me that they're going to have some improvements, even regardless of the other things I'm getting ready to tell you. They're going to bring in the entire James Madison coaching staff, which has already turned that program into a powerhouse in the very few years they've been in Division I. So that paired with the returning production, and then they're going to bring in transfer Curtis Rourke from Ohio. Now, I understand that the MAC conference is not the Big Ten, but let's not sit here and act like this is not an upgrade at quarterback, coaching staff, and from a returning production standpoint. Now, you pair all that with the regression statistics that they have going on, and you have a team that is really going to be on the rise. And one thing is, it's not like they're having to surpass expectations by some gigantic margin, mind you. Their win total is 5.5. So they just need to get over that, you know, that mark. And on top of that, they go 2-4 in one score games last year, and they had a -5 turnover, 109th overall. So they're going to see some positive regression. They're also going to have a positive upgrade at quarterback, positive upgrade coaching staff-wise, and they're going to get better based off their production profile. Those things right there check all the boxes, and that makes them an easy add to this slate of teams. Now, the next team is going to be Colorado. Now, I know that a lot of people are really against the Colorado team from top to bottom. I understand it's, you know, it can be tiring to just have to sit here and listen to them year in and year out. You know, just like the hype is too much, right? But I'm going to sit here and just be realistic. The returning production, fourth and first, and offense and return and defense, respectively, is worth talking about. That paired with, in my opinion, the best quarterback, Shedeur Sanders, in the Big 12. And it's not even close. I'm going to just say it. There is not any waffling on this podcast. It's not even close. He is the best quarterback in the Big 12. So you pair that with the returning production and the fact that they're going to have some positive regression in one score games. They went 3-5 last year in one score games. And then on top of that, even though the strength of schedule is 15th overall, and it is going to be tough, that strength of schedule is not as hard as it was last year in the Pac-12 when you had arguably the best conference in the entire country from top to bottom depth-wise. And so my thought process is very simple. They get rid of their defensive coordinator, who was abysmal, and they bring in, you know, some new fresh faces. They've revamped the offensive line, even though it is through the transfer portal, which I will say is not the way you usually build up that unit, but they're going to be infinitely better than they were last year. They cannot be any worse from that unit. And so that paired with these, with the other, you know, positive things going forward, I think getting the 6 wins is definitely in the wheelhouse. Their win total is 5.5, and I easily see them surpassing that. Now, lastly, is another team we have not spoke about at all, and that team is going to be Hawaii. Now, this is the only team that would need to overachieve their win total by a significant margin. Their win total is 4.5, so they would need to, you know, roughly win 1.5 more games than expected from Vegas. And the reason I have them slated in here is, firstly, they are the only team in college football to play 2 Division II opponents this year. They will play Delaware State and Northern Iowa. Now, obviously, they have to win both of those games. If they lose either one of those games, they are not getting the 6 wins. It's just not going to happen. Now, then they have Sam Houston State, and then they have some bottom feeders in the Mountain West that they should beat in New Mexico and Nevada. Now, that the schedule right there lines up for numerous things, right? They should be able to at least get 4 to 5 wins. And that in itself gives you, you know, the space to maneuver and maybe pull an upset here or there. But the other thing that they're going to see an increase in is their negative 10 in turnover margin last year. They're not going to be negative 10 again, even if they're like negative 5 or negative 4 and they see some type of moderate improvement, that is going to be infinitely better for them. And on top of all that, they have arguably the 2nd best quarterback returning to the fold in the Mountain West. There are only 4 quarterbacks in the Mountain West who recorded 125 dropbacks last year that are playing again this year. And Braden Shager is better than everyone not named Mikey Keene. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot to go off of, and you're probably like, okay, well, that's pretty thin. I don't agree with that being enough to back them. Well, the other side to all of that is going to be that Hawaii is going to keep the same coach, and the Mountain West is in complete disarray when it comes to coaching turnover. There's going to be 6 new head coaches. That's significant. So any type of continuity from the coaching standpoint is a plus. Now, they do bring in a different new defensive coordinator, Dennis Thurman, who was a Colorado assistant. Now, I hope he learned more than what they were teaching at Colorado defensively last year, because it was a nightmare to watch. But that paired with, you know, the positive regression and turnover margin, the positive strength of schedule that I laid out for you. Also, their strength of schedule ranks 130th overall. So it is literally one of the easiest ones in the country. They will have their 19th in offensive returning production and 87th in defensive returning production. Now, both of those units were bottom 30 in S&P Plus, but again, we're just looking for incremental improvement. If they push up, you know, offense is now 80th in S&P Plus, you know, the defense is maybe, you know, 90th or 95th in S&P Plus, paired with a soft schedule, paired with positive regression and coaching continuity, they can really push that into a, you know, into a different, you know, a different outcome. Different outlook. If they get to 6-1, that's going to be a win for Hawaii. And I think that the schedule paired with all those things is going to give them a great opportunity to do that. Now, this parlay again, which I'm sure is what everybody's curious of what it's going to pay, it's plus 1051. And now that's not like a massive payout for you having to wait your entire season, but the variance is better in my opinion. You're taking five solid teams who check a lot of boxes, not only individually, but as a whole. Like, they're the type of, you know, boxes that you would want in any type of team that you're trying to back for a long-term bet, right? And so even though that's not like the massive payout that some people are looking for, we need to be realistic in our expectations of things like this in general. If you're wanting massive payouts, like lottery style, go play the lottery. Go play the Powerball. Like, that's not what we're trying to do here. So that's going to be all I have on this topic. We will do an episode on 10 win plus teams and their parlay. That's a little more difficult, in my opinion, because you really, your margin for error is much smaller. You know, it's a very, very, you know, direct path to 10 wins. You cannot, an injury, anything could derail you in that instance. So going forward, we will do some playoff projections. We'll do some championship projections and maybe some more nuanced takes. Like, I probably am going to dive into the coordinator change at Notre Dame and see how Riley Leonard actually stacks up with that coordinator change. Surprise, I'm not optimistic, but I'm going to do my best. But other than that, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, you know, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter, or you can email me at themittnermethod@gmail.com. But other than that, as always, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.